His memory is at like the 5th or 6th percentile, with the 50th percentile being average.
Okay.
So he's down at 5 or 6. His executive functioning is at like 1st percentile, which means it's essentially not there.
That's Kim talking about Mike Adamly. And Mike, a legend in Chicago, as you all know. A good guy, too. Friend for many years who's been dealing with the effects of CTE for a long time. Bill Gibbs joins us. Bill played D-back at Notre Dame, superior athlete, now one of the great attorneys in the country, and has been for many years, and has worked in this field and continues to do that. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning. How are you?
Thanks for coming on again.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
It's an interesting day in the development of the story of CTE in football. And we brought this up at the top of the show. The Dave Durison Act will be rolled out later today. And it's an effort to potentially pass legislation that would mean kids under the age of 12 can't play tackle football. What are your thoughts on it?
Well, I think it's a very important development. You know, because the brain of a young child is still developing. And almost as important, the neck muscles of a young child are still developing. And so kids under 12 really shouldn't be playing, you know, full contact tackle football. They should be out playing, no doubt about it. They should be playing flag football. They should be playing all sorts of sports. But there's little to no benefit to the tackle football at that age. And we now know that there's much harm that can come from it.
Why are you an exception, and why are there so many exceptions to the rule? Did you fundamentally tackle, you know, more appropriately when you played? Were you better coached than some? Why does a guy like Durison get it and you don't?
Well, there's a lot of factors that still are unknown, but the one thing that is becoming readily apparent is the amount of exposure that someone has to repeated head hits, right, is a critical factor. So if someone plays tackle football from the age 8 to 28 or 38 in the NFL, 20 to 30 years of repetitive head trauma is going to set someone up for later in life CTE. It just is. I did not play youth football. I played high school and college football, so I've got 8 years. I'm sure my wife and others would tell you that I'm not all there. But
your office but staff,
exactly,
some clients.
But I think that's really sort of the point, is that if you can limit the amount of exposure that a brain has to these repeated head hits, no head hit is good for you. But there is a significant difference between a brain that has had thousands of head hits over 20 or 30 years, as opposed to a brain that has had less hits, hopefully well managed, making sure that someone doesn't play with a concussion or in the presence of signs of concussion, and limit the time that brain is exposed to those hits. You now have a much better chance of avoiding this serious, you know, neurodegenerative disease that, you know, we're seeing more and more guys that we adored dealing with.
Bill Gibbs is a partner at Corboy and Demetrio, and again, one of the best young attorneys, not just in Chicago, but in the country. And comes to this from an athlete standpoint and a true believer, and we have to do what we can to protect the brain. And in the long run, it protects the game. Mark Carman's here. Say hi to Bill.
Hi, Bill. Good morning. What do you think about this on the high school level as far as going forward and potential lawsuits for people saying that, hey, you know, our son played and he was hurt and you guys didn't have the proper trainers there, whatnot? Do you see that not just for 12-year-olds, but like this going to become an issue on the high school level as well?
Well, I think we're at a stage now where every high school program in America, hopefully, has an awareness of the significance of dealing with concussions, and they all probably have policies and protocols and procedures in place for how to deal with a concussion, how to deal with an athlete, you know, that's exhibiting signs or symptoms. And I hope that we're at a point where that's the whole community, the whole football community. It's not just incumbent upon you know, the people in charge, but it's the referees on the field that now can notice it. It's the coaches. It's the teammates that can notice these signs and symptoms. And so the liability, the legal liability in the future for a school that has a protocol or procedure in place will be if you failed to follow it or you avoided it entirely. So we saw with Cam Newton earlier this year, and we've seen with Tom Savage, who's a quarterback for the Texans, instances in which those people that are charged with noticing the signs and symptoms didn't recognize them. Or, you know, if they are recognized, but then the procedure or the protocol isn't followed, that's where the liability is going to lie going forward.
You know, when I played high school football in the 70s, it was, you know, you got dinged. And you shake it off. You know, get back in there. There was no concussion protocol or anything. And we're seeing some of the impact of that now. And some of it we may never see because there's guys that, you know, I'm 56. There's guys between 50 and dead who wouldn't step forward and talk about it. Or maybe it's being written off as dementia or Alzheimer's or something else. So how do we get enough data to continue to advance the science, Bill?
Yeah, the science is really doing a good job of advancing at a rapid pace. The last decade, and it comes from sort of an awareness of this disease, and science is really approaching it very vigorously to determine why are certain people maybe more prone to experiencing these long-term ramifications than others. Is there a certain a gene or something like that that makes one more predisposed? And so all that it will and can develop, I'm certain. CTE may be diagnosable in living patients in the next 5 years, maybe 10 years. So there's going to be significant advances. And you're right. It used to be, you know, if somebody was going to the wrong sideline or you know, walking to the wrong huddle, teammates would kind of laugh it off.
Right.
And that those days, I hope, are gone. I hope now that everybody understands, you know, how significant this brain injury is, that now we're paying attention to those instances and making sure that those people have the right medical care, because that's what they need and that's what they deserve. And in eliminating, you know, the number of years or reducing the number of years that someone can have those hits, hopefully we're headed to an age where we will see less and less CTE in former football players.
Talking with Bill Gibbs, the Dave Durison Act getting rolled out today. Dave's wife and family members and others will do a press conference later today. The effort is to make it illegal for those under 12 to play tackle football in the state of Illinois, and I'm guessing there's going to be quite a bit of momentum behind it. Last question, I'll let you go, Bill. Have you seen either in research for cases or anecdotal evidence on how the CTE problem breaks down by position? Because to me, the most vulnerable for repetitive head trauma are quarterbacks, whether it's blindside or, you know, a weak offensive line, because those guys, more often than not, you're getting hit and you're banging the back of your head on the turf, or you're getting a blindside hit from somebody. And I know protection has come up now where the penalties have been stiffer for quarterbacks being hit. But outside of McMahon, and you mentioned a quarterback, it feels like other positions we're seeing more of this.
Yeah, the statistics seem to indicate that the guys down in the trenches, your offensive and defensive linemen, are going to be the most susceptible.
Nope. Sounds like we lost him on the line. There you go.
That every play, those players are headbanging. And that's every play. It used to be every play in practice. You said you played in the 70s. The guys that we represent that played in the NFL in the 70s said practices were often more brutal than games.
Yeah.
And it's every single play. And so when you talk about this idea, there may be two ways that one can develop CTE. Either that really big hit that you're talking about it with the quarterback that's not recognized and that quarterback continues to play and continues to have hits to him. And or the offensive lineman who may not be concussed, but by the virtue of his position on the field, may take 200 head hits a day. And over time, when that offensive lineman takes 200 head hits a day over an entire season, over 4 seasons, over 8 seasons, over 12 seasons, over 20 seasons, even if he doesn't have that big, huge, dramatic concussion that everyone can see and kind of say, oh, no, that player still can be susceptible to the disease just due to the repetitiveness of the trauma to his brain.
Yeah, it's like a demolition derby for your head just over and over and over again.
Mike Webster of the Pittsburgh Steelers is the poster child for that.
Yep.
50 years old.
That's exactly right.
Yep, well said by you.
Exactly right.
Bill, thanks for the insight. Always appreciate when you can come on and join us. And I don't have a 12-year-old anymore, but on behalf of everybody else, I appreciate your learned support of the Duracin Act, whatever you do going forward with it, because it seems like a good idea to me as well.
Yeah, it's a very interesting act, and we'll see how the legislature deals with it. And I appreciate you having me on to discuss it. Take care, guys.
See you later. That's Bill Gibbs, Corboy, and Demetrio.
Did you do the Oklahoma drill where you would line up one versus the other? It's like someone's going down. It's very violent.
Yeah, yeah. Called a kill.
Yeah.
Yeah. What have a million names for it. Sure.
I mean, like, stuff like that, I think they got to... If you ask Camp OB...
Circle up, guy in the middle, four guys around you. You got to get out of the circle.
Right. I mean, all that stuff.
Hampton OB, look, different era.
Right.
And Hampton OB, they don't want to hear about it.
They don't at all. But,
and I have nothing but respect for Hamp and OB, but the medical documentation of this is pretty significant.